Feliz sábado. For the benefit of those who don't speak Spanish, again, feliz sábado. And I know you're probably saying, benefit, I don't understand. Well, it's for you to learn. Because in heaven, we're all going to be Hispanics. I see some brother here saying, yes, yes. And he's not even Hispanic. And he's agreeing with me. Awesome. That's good. Well, it's good to see you, and it's so good to see all of you guys, seeing your beautiful faces from here. You guys look radiant. You guys didn't learn, huh? During the welcome, I did something similar. You're supposed to be saying amen and getting all excited about it and all of that. So let me just continue. You look really good because God never makes mistakes. He always do beautiful things. You know that? So it's good to see beautiful people like you from here. Good. All right. So, how many of you have annoying neighbors? People that you just don't like. People that you just, you know, to some point, just, we don't want to use that word, but we say we hate them. We really don't like them at all. I mean, you're digging a hole in your backyard, you're doing something, and they're looking through the fence like, what are you doing? And you're like, what do you care? You know? It's like you're kind of like, what's wrong with you? It's my hole. Go back to your backyard and make your own hole or something. You know, they just want to, I mean, they ask questions all the time. They drive by your house and they're looking how your house looks. If you're painting, they're kind of looking like, what color is it? I want to do something like that. If you install something new in front of your backyard, in your front yard, they just want to know exactly where you bought it. You know, you want to get something like that. Sometimes you see these neighborhoods that somebody put a new mailbox and the next house have the same mailbox. You notice that? They're like, they got a special, like two for the price of one or what? People, you know, those neighbors that sometimes you just don't like. And to some point as human beings, we just don't like them at all. You know? We all have those neighbors. What about those neighbors that one day you just come back to your house, and then suddenly they make a lot of noise like music. Y por eso estamos aquí cantando, you know, music really loud. They have a big fiesta going on. And they are a block away from you, but they are loud. You see those lights moving around and a bunch of people parking everywhere. And you said, well, they are a block away from me, so it's not going to bother me. You keep driving, and right in front of you, there is another neighbor doing the same thing. Just in my neighborhood one day, one Sabbath day, I had three neighbors having three different fiestas. Music here, and music there. It's like, what's going on? When I moved to this neighborhood, I live at La Sierra. When I moved to La Sierra, I was so happy. We were like, we found the right spot. We are 2 minutes away from the university. And we said, you know what? We have pastors around us. Isn't that like Holy Land? He's like, you know? The principal of the school was living in front, and we were so happy. This is just awesome. A few minutes away, there was the university. Another holy point, holy land there. And then a few more minutes, there is the conference. Even higher note. It's like, that's the best place. That's better than Loma Linda area. This is just awesome. But then you realize, as time goes by, you go outside your neighborhood, you see all these people, and you realize, some people are leaving, especially when the prices went down. You know, they were right here, and then silent. And you are like, okay, I'm poor now. I don't have anything. My house used to be this value, now it's here. And then you see all these people coming, and you realize that they are all coming, and you didn't invite them, and they're coming to your neighborhood, and you are standing right there, and you see silently this guy going, tuff, 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 in his car, moving like that, tuff, 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 and you're like, man. And then another one, tuff, 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 tuff. What's wrong with my neighborhood? Such a safe neighborhood for my kids. It was just perfect. I moved here and I pay a lot of money because this was the place. And suddenly they're moving in. Don't you wish sometimes that people will ask you, the neighborhood will say, we have a farm, we have new neighbors who are moving in. Do you want to vote in or you want to vote them out? Don't you feel that sometimes, okay, let me see the paper. I want to know the whole background. I want to know where they're coming from, what ethnicity, because some of them are really loud. You know, I'm going to make sure I vote in or out. Don't you wish sometimes that? I know your mind. Some of you are thinking like that. Like, yes, Pastor, I don't want to raise my hand, but yes, I wish. Oh, deep inside you, I know. I thought about that. Because we want to keep some people out of our neighborhoods, safe neighborhoods, and we want to let only some people in. I have to admit, and I have to tell you something that I did this week. This week, as myself, I'm kind of, people said I'm sometimes weird or crazy. I don't look like a pastor. I don't care. You know, I'm fine. I'm happy. But that's fine. What I did this week is this. I just called my wife and said, honey, can I have your permission to do, I'm not going to tell you what, this and that. Okay, that's fine, do it. It's for the sermon. Believe me, I'm going to use it. Okay. So I went online and I was looking for this. First, I watched this TV show, and then they show a webpage address there. So I went online to that webpage address, and then this website, which is like a social network for you to date people. Yes, I'm not dating anybody. That's why I'm telling you right up front. Okay, so this dating place, you have to sign up, but the name of the place, if you want to go and do it, you can try it, it's called beautifulpeople.com. And yes, only beautiful people can make it. If you are ugly, you're history. So when I read that, like, beautifulpeople.com, and I was reading and watching the video that they have, you know, what, you know, why they do it, and you probably will ask, how do they know you are beautiful or not? Simple. They let all the members who are in vote on you based on your picture if you are in or out. So I asked my son, can you take a good picture of me? So he was standing there kind of like, you're crazy. That's a bad angle. Let me just do it. I'm going to do it myself. So I did a selfie of me with my glasses and all of that, and I look so good in that picture, I want to tell you. I kind of like it. Even so that I showed it to somebody else and said, man, you look awful there. No, I like it. My wife loved it. You know, my wife loves anything about me. That's the reality. So I can't really have a question, a sincere answer. Honey, do you love me? Yes. But I did this thing. Do you love me? Yes. I look bad. No, you look beautiful. She always so positive. So I took this picture there, and then I went online and beautifulpeople.com. Oh, man, this picture there. Okay, I'm going to put my name, who I am. And they ask you all these questions, and they ask if you're single, married, divorced, and all of that. I put, I'm married, just in case. You know, I want to make sure they know I'm married. But these days, even if you're married, some people out there, they send you hacks and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, I'm married and put it right there. And then I upload my picture, a nice picture. And then I put it right there. And then I wait. And then appears this thing. All right, welcome to beautifulpeople.com. Now you have to wait 48 hours. During the 48 hours, all of our members are going to be voting and letting you know if you're in or out based on your picture. Okay, I'm gonna wait, excited. Let's see what happened. Click there, okay, just wait. Then they had this 48 clock right there going down, you know, the minutes and all of that. Okay, I was excited. So I went, just come back. I went, do my things. After 6 hours, I come back. Beautifulpeople.com. I want to know what's going on so far. Oh, man, I go in. I'm out. So far, I'm out. I'm in the ugly side. I'm out. Why? My picture is good. Right? How many of you guys think I'm beautiful? Oh, look at you. How many of you guys think I'm ugly? You wish, huh? So then, I just kind of like excited and all of that. I don't care those who think I'm ugly. You're bad. You're wrong. Anyway, so I'm there. And then kind of like, you know, like, really? I mean, you know. And then you have these things kind of like, you're really ugly or something like that. You're okay. Okay. You're good. You're beautiful. Things like that. So I said, okay, forget it. I'm going to come back later on. So I come back later on. And then when I come back a few hours later, sorry, let's say like 24, 23 hours later, I come back there. Man, I moved from ugly to the middle. Ah, it's getting there. I'm here thinking, beautiful, ugly, I'm going there. So then I'm going to forget about that. I have to keep doing my sermon. I have to, you know, kind of worry. Beautiful and my sermon. Beautiful my sermon. Kind of struggling. And then by 47, 50-something minutes or something, I go in and I check. Beautiful people that come. And I'm waiting for the computer to load. And it's loading and it's loading. And then appears. And then you know what? It says, welcome to beautifulpeople.com. You have been voted in. He's like, I'm beautiful! Wow! I'm beautiful. At the same time, how sad, isn't it? How sad that actually people have to vote if I'm beautiful or not. How sad that I have to depend on some people to tell me that I can be part of a social network based if they think I'm beautiful or not. Isn't that what happens sometimes at church? Don't you wish sometimes you can vote even in your neighborhood? You know, I don't like you because, look, you have those tattoos there. You walk funny. And you have way too many kids, and they are too loud. And when I see you walking with your tattoo in my neighborhood, and you have two dogs, and they're just not normal dogs. They are pit bulls. And I don't like you because I have a chihuahua, and you have pit bulls. I wish I could vote you out because this is my safe neighborhood. This is my place. I don't need people like you. I feel unsafe. In the Bible, we have a story that is the one that we are going to be studying today and talking about. And this story, which is the Bible text we read a few minutes ago, is in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21, starts by saying this. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Once, I repeat this, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, once, they were worried about the kingdom. They were not thinking about the same kingdom as Jesus Christ was thinking about the kingdom of God. They were thinking about a kingdom that is going to finally change everything. A kingdom with a ruler that is going to come and save them. They are going to feel comfortable. They are going to feel safe. They are going to feel that they now belong to a place that now everything is on place. Not only anybody can join them, but only Jews, only the ones who deserve to be there. And they were waiting for that king to show up, who is going to establish that kingdom, that with a hard hand, he's going to come and say, Romans, you are out. Because what you do to these people is wrong. You are out. Because Jewish cannot mix with you because you think different, because you think worldly, because you think totally out of this place. God doesn't like you, so it's time for me to remove you out of this place. The Pharisees were asking to some point the right question according to them. Isn't that what we do sometimes as Adventists? Sometimes we keep looking up to heaven, looking for the signs. Jesus Christ, when are you going to show up? I'm waiting for your kingdom to be established. I'm waiting for you to come for the second time and your kingdom to be established so that way all of these sinners and people who are doing so much damage to me and my family, they will be gone. I remember my mom used to pray and used to think that the only solution to her problems, the only solution to everything she was suffering, was for Jesus to come for the second time and establish his kingdom. And sometimes we think the same way. All our problems are going to be fixed when Jesus establishes his kingdom. And you know what? We spend time trying to look for the sign. We spend time trying to find out when the kingdom is going to be established. Jesus replied to the Pharisees, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' The kingdom of God is not something that you are going to be able to see it, to believe it. Instead, even so, we are still looking for signs as Adventists. We are still looking for signs in the newspapers. Have you seen what happened there? Wow, Jesus is coming soon. We are still looking for magazines that said something about the Jesus coming for the second time. We're still going online and the web pages and following those blogs by saying, 'Yes, Jesus is coming. Yes, these people are wrong. Yes, yes, yes.' But it's not about somebody else telling you if he's coming. It's not about some preacher coming in front of you and telling you Jesus is coming, because these signs are happening. Maybe you are thinking wrong. Maybe you are looking at the wrong place. And Jesus is telling them, the Pharisees, he's telling them, it's not about that. You're not going to be able to observe any of that. And if somebody tells you, 'Come this way,' or 'Go this way,' you know what? It's not about that. But as Adventists, as Christians, we keep looking for the signs, because that's our only hope. And we forget that until then, until Jesus comes for the second time and he finishes establishing his kingdom, we forget that there is work to do. We keep coming to church, worshiping his name. We keep coming to a place that we feel safe and comfortable, because we're still hoping for Jesus to come. Jesus didn't stop there by telling them, "Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." And that is the question. Are we so much focused in when his kingdom is going to be established? Are we so much focused on when the second coming is just happening? Are we so much focused on what the signs of the times are telling us that is going to happen, that we are missing the point that the kingdom of God is already here? And he was telling them, the kingdom of God is already among you. It's like saying, look at me, I'm in front of you. I'm Jesus Christ, who came already to establish the kingdom. And you are missing the whole point. You're still asking for the kingdom to be established. You're still asking to be free. But I'm here. Hello, are you looking at me? I'm here. Seems to be that they never got the point. They never got the message. You see, Jesus came to this planet for three reasons. The first one is he came here to die for you and me for our sins. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, I am a sinner. Yes, we all make mistakes. But the same way you are a sinner, all the people outside of these doors are also sinners. We are all equal. Doesn't make you any better for you to be here in this church, sitting, listening to me, and going back home having good lunch. There are people out there who still need to listen about Christ and his forgiveness. You know, Jesus came to die for you and me, for your sins. Second reason, he came to show us who the Father really is. Because in the Old Testament, the only thing they knew was that God was such a God that he punished everybody. As soon as they do something wrong, he just grabs your head and he cut you off because you don't deserve to live. That's dramatic, isn't it? The only thing they knew is that God sent his people to kill children, animals, women, everybody, exterminate everybody. That's who God is. But Jesus came the other way around. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he showed them compassion. And he showed them love. And he showed them everything they need. They just tried to help. Jesus just tried to help them in every way they can. He never came to them asking them to follow him first. He came to help them first. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. It was time for them to learn who God really was. But he came for a third reason. He came to establish a kingdom. And that is the problem. The Pharisees thought the kingdom was still supposed to be happening in the future. Just like many of us, we still think the kingdom, everything is going to be better when he comes for the second time. That's in the future. That's why I had to spend time knowing that. But they didn't realize, and we don't realize, that the kingdom is already established. And he's coming only to fulfill everything, to finish the work that he already started. And he left, leaving you here to do the work. You see, the kingdom of God is not a club. The kingdom of God is not something that you just gain membership by somebody voting in. In the kingdom of God, you don't have any voice. The only voice that counts is the voice of God. In the kingdom of God, you don't have any saying because we are all equal. In the kingdom of God, you don't get privileges because you give more tithes or because you give something to the church or because you spend money or because you have so many years of being an Adventist. In the kingdom of God, there's only one who is king. God is the Father, Jesus is the King, and you and me are only disciples, servants, people who follow his voice. And that changes the whole thing. Because if you think you are here to get benefits out of the membership of being an Adventist, you are in the wrong church. Because I could say this church is a kingdom, but this church is going to be only the kingdom of God. And it's not about you, and it's not about me, it's about God. And the name of Jesus Christ is going to be praised and is going to be exalted because at the end, he's the one who chooses to who comes here and who sits here in these pews. This kingdom is for people who need them. And just in case you still don't have an idea who are those people, here are a few Bible verses that I want to read to you. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you poor in spirit? Not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. If you are here only to worship and praise, Lord, Lord, maybe you are in the wrong kingdom. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Mark chapter 10, verse 15. All those people are people who are struggling with something in their lives. If you are here in this church thinking that everything is fine with you, and to some point you are even almost perfect, you are in the wrong church. If you think you are one of those people who actually think that you have the truth and you know exactly what to do and nobody can tell you what to do or where to go, you are probably in the wrong church. Because God is going to shake your life by telling you, no, no. Do you need me? Are you here because you are a sinner? Are you here because you are struggling? Are you here because you're having issues at home? Are you here because you have financial problems? Are you here because you have issues with your kids? Are you here because you are dying deep inside, but coming here to church trying to show that you should be different? If you are that kind of person, this is your place. This is your place. And there are plenty of people out there who need to hear about the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a place that is open for everyone. Yes, everyone. That's why you are in. And there is one final Bible text that I want to share with you. And this final Bible text is based on Luke chapter 14, verse 15 to 24. And this Bible text starts, this is the story of a banquet happening, somebody putting together a wedding banquet. Somebody is just, and I'm going to tell you the story and I'm going to jump in into the part that I want you to know more. According to the story, it says that this rich man, this man who is in charge of many other servants, he puts together a banquet. And by the way, I don't know how do you think a banquet is? How do you think a feast is? But for me, every time I read something like that, that's like a fiesta, a party. That's loud. That means if you don't like to be, disturbed by loud instruments, by loud people, then you shouldn't be in that banquet. Then you are in the wrong neighborhood and you are in the wrong kingdom. Because according to Jesus, starting the first part of this, he said, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "As a man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." He already had a list of people to be invited. So he got excited and he sent all his servants, "Guys, go and get the people." And everybody goes, let me go. And they go and, knock at the door. Dun, 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 and they open the door. And they go in. And as they go in, the guy is like, "What's going on?" "Hey, the banquet is ready to start. We have everything ready, prepared. The tortillas are warm. The beans are warm. The cheese is ready to put there. We already killed so many chickens. Man, it's just disturbing. We killed already lambs. Everything is ready." Do you think they were vegetarians? Really? Really? And they were eating all this meat. It was a banquet with lots to drink, with lots to eat, and the music was going on. "We are ready. We are just waiting for you, 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 you." Like, you know what? I'm busy. The story says that they said, "I'm busy. I had to go back to my land and check some stuff. It's kind of like, I'm not sure if it's flat. I want to make sure my land is flat. Really flat." "Yeah, but the last time I saw it was flat." "Yeah, but it was a little bumps. So I want to make sure it's flat. Sorry, just tell him, I'll be there when I can, okay? Or maybe see you in another banquet." So they went and they looked for somebody else. Dun, 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 dun. Go in. "Hey, the banquet is ready. The food is ready. We have mariachis playing." "No. Yes, they are Jewish mariachis. Believe me, they're awesome." And they're like, really? Well, and then he's talking, "Hey, I'm getting married tomorrow. I can't go." "Don't tell that to her. I can't go. Abort. Abort mission. Go back. I can't go." "Honey, we can't go, right?" "Yeah, we can't go. I'm sorry." They couldn't make it. And the servants went back to talk to the master. And the master, according to the Bible, according to this, the master says here, the servant, 21, "The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry." Angry. How do you become angry? Do you know? I don't know. When I get angry, I'll be like, "Oh!" Just like that. See, I don't get wild like some people. Let's go back to the Bible text. He became angry. He became angry. Okay, I lost my track here. There it is. All right. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, no one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, if you're not in, you are out. In the kingdom of heaven, you don't listen to that voice telling you have things to do, and you better come, you better leave everything behind. Come, you're out. But more than that, God is the one who makes the decisions. And he's the one who already said, after getting angry, other than destroying them because he's angry, he just sent his servants and said, just call the lame, call the poor, call the blind. Anyway, the blind, they don't know where to go, so just bring them. Just call, just bring the mute. They're not going to tell you anything anyway. Just bring them. Just bring everyone. Everyone. What will happen if this church becomes to be that kingdom? What will happen if this church is open when everyone is welcome? What will happen if this church is such a place that you don't have to take a cube and trying to match, that you need to have the right heart and the right shape, and you, so in order for you to go in? What about if this church becomes to be the kingdom of God today? Are you in or you are out? Because when this church becomes to be the kingdom of God, believe me, you're going to see outside. You're going to see outside, ese, welcome to church. You're going to see outside people who dress, who are different than you and me. Because the kingdom of God is real. Jesus came. He came and he called disciples. He didn't call members of the church. He didn't call believers, as some churches believe. He didn't call anything else other than disciples. And the disciples only obey orders, and the servants only do things. The servants don't argue. The disciples don't complain. The members, because they give enough tithes, they complain. Are you one of them? I want to invite you to be a disciple. There are only a few who go in the kingdom knowing exactly what they are going to face. There are only a few who are going to do the same thing that Jesus did, eating with people who drink, eating with tax collectors, eating with prostitutes, mixing with people who are called sinners. There are only a few. Are you one of them? I'm going to finish by telling you a quick story about this person that you don't know, Rhoda Butler. As we went to the mission trip in Pine Ridge, it's sad to see people living in misery. It's hard to see that 97-95% of people living there, they are alcoholics, and that more than 80% of them, they are unemployed, and they don't have ways to live normal life like you and me. It's really sad to see that teachers are not going there, because that's not the place you want to live. You don't want to be in a place that you are 4 hours away from something better to do. But there was one lady, and she came from Florida. She said this story to us. Simple. I left Florida. My kids are big. My kids are all grown up. I left, I sold my house, I left everything, and I moved here. I know I'm close to retire, but I'm here in the reservation teaching to these kids. Why do you do that? Are you living here? I'm living here. What is your only connection you have with the outside world? The internet. But I live here. Why do you do that? Because I want them to know that they are precious, that they are special, that they are important. I want to give my life for these kids. When some people go out, only a few go in. You are invited to the kingdom of God. Don't think like a member of the church. Think like a disciple, like a servant. Think that the only one who deserves glory is God. And the only one who deserves to lead your life is God. Don't make any differences. Don't point fingers at somebody because they are different than you. Don't talk about others because they don't believe the same things you believe. Embrace them. The kingdom of God is for everyone. Eat with them. Drink with them. Be with them wherever they are. The kingdom of God is for everyone. And God is the King. And He deserves glory and worship. That's the one thing we can do all together. God deserves glory and worship, and He's calling you to be part of that kingdom, to think different.